Welcome to Joy on Paper Radio. I am your guest host, Bria Burton, here in the studio in beautiful Clearwater, Florida. And today, I'm going to be interviewing two local authors. I am so excited to be talking to some authors who are from right here in the Tampa Bay area. And I also just want to give a shout out to the wonderful Patsy Gill, who is the host of Joy on Paper and who will be back for you all on Thursday. So I have the privilege and honor of coming in every month for a very special sci-fi hour, and we've got two sci-fi authors that you're just going to love their books, and I want to start by introducing one of the authors who is right here in the studio with me, Greg Gause, and am I saying your last name right?
Yeah, you said it right. Thank you.
Awesome. I should have asked before I just went for it.
You did very well. Most people don't get it right.
Okay, gotcha. So we're here in the studio talking about his book, Princess Zima and the Phase Lord. And some of you are watching on Instagram. I have a live feed going. Some of you are on Facebook. And some of you are watching on the Tan Talk Network Studio YouTube channel. So if you're watching on any of those, I'm going to hold up his book so you can see this really fun cover. And it's really beautiful. I would say there's just a lot of really evocative imagery in it. And I want to start by just talking about the cover. Who did your cover for you? And did you have a lot of just ideas of what you wanted and they got it just right? Or tell me how happy you are with your cover, because I love it. I think it's beautiful.
Thank you very much. The artist's name is Stephen Harper. Mm-hmm. And what I understand is that, you know, sometimes you can pick one scene from a book,
right,
and put it on the cover,
sure,
and let it stand alone. But what we did with this one is that there's really four or five pictures put together, like the Zima,
yes,
and Prince. The main characters are in the center, and then you see some sort of depiction or image of the others, you know, around in a circle around her. It's not a perfect circle, but
right,
so you're really,
yes,
seeing four or five ideas on the cover.
Yeah, and we'll keep it up for a minute while you're talking about it. So Zima is the central character here, and
yep,
then the saber-toothed tiger Prince is below, and then you can kind of see surrounding some just more imagery from the rest of the book. Yeah,
that's right.
It's got so much going on, yet my eye, like sometimes you see something like that and you think, oh, my eyes get tired just looking at it. It's not that kind of image. It's a very, it's got such warm colors. It, I think, does a really good job of drawing you into what the story is and all the multiple layers of it, because we've got a Neanderthal girl with her saber-toothed tiger, and then we've got an AI robot in the bottom right. Just he's not as obvious at first glance, but you catch that there's this AI robot on the right, and then there's these little Neanderthal, her little cousins, who,
yes,
are hilarious, uh-huh, fighting on the back, and then this kind of, you know, shadowy figure in a matrix type cube, and you know that immediately suggests that he might be part of the villainy of the book. So yeah, and let me just clarify that you are an independent publisher,
mm-hmm,
and meaning you independently published your book, so you had full say over everything that went into this cover.
Yeah, that's, mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. I did it. My wife, who's quite literate, did some editing, but we had some professional editors that we paid for, mm-hmm, and the, mm-hmm, artist. And it's just all us.
Yeah, yeah. And that, congratulations on your novel. And then the sequel is out as well. You said in ebook form at this time, but coming later into the print and everything?
Yes, that's, mm-hmm, right. It really should just be a week or two, and then you can order the paperback and the hardcover as well.
Okay, wonderful. And so what? Let's go back a little bit before we get into the story itself. What got you started as a writer? Have you always been writing? Did you just one day quit your job and say, hey, I'm writing for life now? What happened? What's your personal story?
Well, I think probably like a lot of us, most of us, we like a story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We like to go someplace else for a little while with people that we like.
Right.
And in today's culture, we've all seen a lot of stories, read a lot of stories, watch them on TV every night. And I just was like, I could do that. And I think I could do a good one,
mm-hmm,
at least,
mm-hmm,
for people like me. If,
sure,
you're like me, you'll probably like my stories.
Okay, tell us what do you like in your stories? What kind of things resonate with you when you're watching or reading, or, you know, what, mm-hmm, what inspirations would you say you drew from?
Okay. So the first thing there is, what I like is when there's maybe one piece of technology that's a more advanced than people are expecting. Someone can move faster. Maybe they're a little smarter. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have a little more belief in themselves. So the actions that they take are going to surprise and catch the reader off guard in a wonderful way.
Okay, yes.
A surprising, exciting way, which happens a lot with Princess Zeem and the Phase Lord, because these are little Neanderthals. Mm-hmm. And they do not have the social structure of, you know, all the no's. Don't do this. Don't touch that. Don't talk to those people. Don't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so their emotions are just quicker. They're a little more instinctual. Mm-hmm. When the danger shows up, they take action. And you're like, wait a minute, they're already saving the day. Wait a minute, they're already escaping. You know, and then you're like, you grab onto the book and read a little, and you get a little more into it. So that first part of the question is just, I like a piece of technology that just, like, so the reality that everybody is living in or reading about is all the same. So there's a lot of agreement, there's a lot of understanding, except for this one thing. So I think that when something exciting happens or something a little out of the ordinary happens, there's a real foundation there for it to be possible. I'm not expecting you to trust that the main character can just turn into a pink unicorn and 5 minutes later be at a business meeting in New York City. You know, there's no drastic leaps.
Plausibility. Sure.
Yes.
And who would you say were some of your favorite authors that you've read, that you've enjoyed, that just really kind of inspired some of these things that you took away?
I think the first real major lesson I learned in just enjoying books, being a reader, and that I had tried to apply as a writer was from Orson Scott Card.
Yeah.
And Ender's Game was the first book.
Yeah, such a good book.
I don't know if it matters who you talk to.
Yeah.
If they're a science fiction person, that book is going to come up in their top five.
Yeah.
Their top 10, top five, always.
It's phenomenal. And if you've ever done the audiobook, Stefan Rudnicki, the best narrator I've probably ever heard, and personally, I think he is fantastic. And to hear him read the book, and the book that I did in audio was a pairing of him with another female reader. And that worked so well with the back and forth with some of the narration. And yeah, getting to hear it in audible was very satisfying. It's a very satisfying book.
Yes. And you know, the thing is, as children, we really are bright and beautiful, and we have a strong sense of justice and rightness. Mm. And, you know, society guides us in a particular direction. I'm not saying it's a bad direction, but, and you know, in Ender's Game, the children are like, they're the ones on the line. And when they're put in a difficult position, it really pulls them apart, and you feel that, right? So, but the thing is it's real, and those feelings are strong and powerful, and, you know, they're still within us, so... The first thing is that it's okay to have a child be like a hero, right? So because they just...
I love that, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, well, and were you writing stories when you were younger, or was this essentially your first foray into writing your own novel as an adult?
I didn't do any writing as a kid.
Okay.
Like in creative writing class in high school. I never did any of that. I was about 28. And I thought, you know what, I can write a book, let's do it.
Hey, I love the confidence because here we are. You have your book and your sequel.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
I wrote a book, it was called Speed Skin. And that's like a...
That's a fascinating title. I'm already intrigued. Tell me about it.
Well, it's similar. There's regular technology. There's a kid whose dad, and his dad is he owns one of the military... Or like a high tech, they basically apply technology to like military equipment.
Okay.
And
okay.
a big problem with our fighter planes, with all airplanes really, doesn't matter whether it's commercial or not, is that we have air friction.
Yes.
And air friction, not everybody knows, but that's the main reason that planes slow down. Mm-hmm. It's the main reason they wear out. Mm-hmm. And maintenance is so incredibly expensive. You know, it's hard on the engines and everything. So, the idea, you know, for this. for the owner of this company, Masterson Aerospace and Technology, is, well, what if we could just get rid of air friction? Mm. What would happen?
Mm-hmm. And some of the best science fiction becomes later future science. I love that.
You know, I'm totally honest with you. I'm sitting at a car wash in Tujunga, California, and I've finished the book, mm-hmm. and the guy sitting next to me has a NASA JPL signature on his jacket.
Yes.
And I said, and I started a conversation with him, and I said, I got to ask you. Yeah, this is what I did. I wrote this book, and what do you think about this? And he said exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
He said, believe it or not, that's where some of our ideas come from, mm-hmm. is because mm-hmm. there's guys like you, they think ahead, and all of a sudden, you know, boom.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That was quite something. That was quite validating to have a true expert in the field say, that's pretty possible.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So, yeah, the planes go twice as fast. And what happens when the planes go two or three times as fast? You know, all of a sudden your military has a lot more power, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, and but the thing is that there's a fight. Mm-hmm. No one's just going to give anybody the advantage.
Right.
So now the bad guys show up and, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You have a story.
Yep. Yep. Always need the conflict. Yeah. Okay. So you had that first novel and then
just finish one now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did the traditional. I tried to go the traditional publishing route.
Meaning submitting to publishers, agents, that type of thing.
Agents. I went down to Barnes & Noble, bought the book of all the agents, and, you know, each one of them lists what they want, a paragraph or a couple of lines or a chapter, and you send it off to them. And I had a very good response. Mm-hmm. I got an agent, and they edited it.
Wow.
Right?
Okay, you actually obtained an agent,
and they edited the book. They edited it. They got it to the publisher, and the publisher said, wow, we really like this guy. Have him write another one. And at that point, my stomach really just was like dropped out because I just spent a year of my life doing this thing.
Yeah.
I'm 28. And I'm not hungry.
So the publisher was not taking on that book, but they said, send us your next one. Was that the idea?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the way they explained it to me was that they don't usually publish someone's first book. Because they're going to put a lot of time and a lot of money into it. Mm-hmm. Your book's going to sell. Mm-hmm. And then 3 weeks later, people are calling in saying, okay, where's the next one?
Right.
And there's this little message that says, next book, you know, look for part two in June of 2027.
Right, yeah.
And then they go through the whole, you know, pay for it.
Yeah.
They go through the whole process again. So they really wanted to see someone with several books lined up.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't think I could do another year and a half of eggs and coffee.
Yeah.
Eggs and coffee, eggs and coffee. So I did have some good response from that.
Yeah.
But I didn't write again after that. I did some fun short stories.
Okay.
Really kind of just for myself, mm-hmm. because I do like the writing and the whole creative aspect. But then that just brought us up to, you know, bringing us up to present time a few years ago. My wife said, well, you know, I think you should do it. And I said, I'll do it. And I did this one, Princess Zima and the Phase Lord.
And so just to update everybody listening, I happened to be at a local cafe, just not very far from where we're sitting right
now. Restoration Cafe.
Restoration Cafe. And I'm chatting with one of the authors who was just here. We just had this cozy conversation also, mm-hmm. because we were trying to let everybody on Instagram see us as well. His name is John Hope, and he's a sci-fi humor writer. He does a lot of children's and young adult type. And we're sitting at that cafe talking about his book before we're about to come here, and I'm trying to remember how it actually happened, where I think I handed you my phone to say, will you take a photo of us? And it turns out, because we're holding up sci-fi books, and you're like, by the way, I'm a sci-fi author. And I just went, give me your number. I'd love to talk to you. And here we are.
Yes.
I love those kind of serendipitous, you know, providential meetings that are just really neat.
Yeah, it was great when I got your text. You know,
Yeah.
Rhea Burton, would you like to be a guest on the show? And
yes.
I was like, yes, that'd be great.
Uh-huh. And so I got to have a copy of your book. I've read it. It is, tell everybody, you know, whatever you want to reveal. I know some people like to keep their books a little tight to the chest and say, get into it blind and you'll enjoy. Others like to share a lot. What do you want the readers to know, just first and foremost, about what they're getting into with Princess Zima and the Phase Lord? Are we looking at young adult, adult fiction? I would say it's high-flying adventure. It is so fun. It's quite the adventure story. There's a lot of action. There's a lot of just intense scenes. And I would almost categorize it young adult, but how do you categorize it?
Well, I categorize it as adult or, you know, young adult if they're readers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I did have a handful of 12, 14-year-olds mm-hmm. look at it. Mm-hmm. And really, the words were just a little too much. Mm, they're adult-level yeah. words.
Yes. You know, which you brought up Ender's Game. Ender's Game is technically an adult book, I believe, but it's featuring, there's a child. I mean, he starts at like 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily the age of the character that always determines, but I was curious of how you were targeting. So targeting the adult audience.
It's definitely an adult book, mm-hmm. and there's just some children in there. You know, like in Ender's Game, you know, Princess Zima in the Phase Lord, sometimes it's even a little cathartic.
Yeah.
Because it, like, takes you back to your own childhood.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, whatever happens there. But, so I definitely think it's an adult book. In fact, one of the people that wrote a review for me on Amazon said, don't be fooled because there's children and lots of adventure.
Yeah.
This is a... You know, and then it goes on to praise the book a little bit.
Yeah.
I would say, the first thing I would say is that this is really, it's a two-parter. Mm. And where this ends, there was just a very nice natural, there's a really very nice natural logical stopping point in the middle. Because what happened was, I just thought that the full book might be too long.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that...
I'm so sorry. My phone
okay.
is actually ringing.
That's okay.
And I don't know if I can stop it from here, but I will.
As long as you didn't forget your mom's birthday or something. There you go.
Here we go. Sorry, everybody. Little technical difficulties. We're back. Okay.
So after getting some advice from some other authors, I did decide to break it in two.
Mm-hmm.
So when you read the first one, I hope the we're getting good reviews.
Mm.
I really
mm-hmm.
hope that you'll like go through the second one because I love the ending. I think it's a big deal.
Yes, yes.
Let's see. As far as like what would I like to say about it, I think what's really neat is basically your main trio of characters. You've got a little Neanderthal girl, and through just the circumstances of her where she's growing up, she befriends a saber-toothed tiger cub.
Mm-hmm.
And which is really, if you're a pet person at all, mm-hmm. that's already pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, this is just on the cover, but there's a highly advanced civilization, and they're currently doing genetic experiments on the Neanderthals.
Okay, yes.
Well, that's happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is the little girl and the cat, they actually find the chamber where these experiments were being done.
Right, the phase chamber.
The phase chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really just a big glowing bed.
Mm-hmm.
And when the little girl, she finds the bed and she starts to notice that she has more energy. She starts to notice that the little scratches she gets when she's been fighting with her, mm-hmm. with the other kids are going away. You know, she doesn't really know what's going on, but... This chamber is actually refining her DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, she loses the brow ridge that a Neanderthal might have.
Mm-hmm.
So the little girl is going through changes. Prince, the saber-toothed tiger cub, is getting stronger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not long, and he's twice as big as the other cubs. Whenever they're play fighting, he wins, you know, and that real spark of intelligence is taking hold in his eyes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm really just kind of giving you guys the setup, which I think makes it fun.
Yes, yeah.
Well, not everything is happy in the Neanderthal world.
Right.
And the medicine man is trying to overthrow tribal leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes Zima and he holds her up as an example that the gods aren't happy with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so he's making a big fight with Zima at the center of it. And, you know, the little girl's probably not going to make it because mm-hmm. of the danger. On the other side of this large area, this huge monolith where they live, the saber-toothed tiger cub, has also been singled out by the alpha tiger. And there's really only one thing that the alpha tiger is going to do to a cub that's going to challenge him for dominance in the future, which is, you know, kill it. So there's upheaval on both sides of this, you know, monolith, which is just a great big rock, for those of you that don't remember what that is. It's a huge rock, and the Neanderthals live on one side, and the saber-toothed tigers and other wild animals have kind of been relegated to the other. But the one thing that's tying these two together is the phase,
right,
is the phase chamber. And in the corner of the cover here, you see Artie. Mm-hmm. Arthur Smith, mm-hmm. and he's the artificial intelligence unit of the great.
Oh, that's who
ship.
He represents.
Yes.
Okay. So Artie Smith was one of my favorite characters, I would say, because he has this great sense of humor.
Yes,
he's a really funny AI.
Yes, he's smart and he's fast, but his emotions aren't really developed yet.
Uh-huh. Right.
And mm-hmm. so he's watching all of this from a distance.
Right.
Of the little girl. To be befriending the cat, even though the cat's, you know, 100 times bigger than she is.
Right.
Not
right.
100, but.
Yeah, he's big. He's very big.
Yes. And so he's watching this, and he realizes that the little girl's in danger. He realizes that the cat's in danger. And just that first portion of the book where it's setting it all up is how those three become a unit.
Yes. Yeah.
Because as soon as they do become a unit.
Right.
And, you know, the message goes out that phase chamber has been activated.
Right, yeah.
Which is where the real danger shows up.
Right.
Is the Empire is coming for their lost piece of phase chamber technology.
Right.
And they're going to do, you know, they'll stop at nothing to get their chamber back.
And so how can the reader, so I can't believe we're already out of time. How can the readers listening get a copy of your book?
Well, it's on Amazon.
Yep.
So you've got Kindle, you've got paperback from Amazon, mm-hmm. and you've also got the hardcover if you happen to love it or just love hardcovers.
Okay, awesome. And is there anything else that you want to mention about, like the sequel? They can get that for now on ebook, but if they wait a week or so, you'll get the print copy most likely?
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Okay.
Book number 2 is ready to go. It's on Amazon, but like you just said, we don't have they're redoing the cover for something.
Mm,
you know, I didn't quite understand what it was. But
okay. All right. Well,
yeah.
Greg, thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Thank
it's
you
been
very
an
much,
absolute
Priya.
Pleasure to chat with you about Princess Zima and the Phase Lord.
Thank you.
Let's get reading. And as always, enjoy the rest of your day. And we will talk to you next month with our next Sci-Fi Hour. Bye-bye now.